broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I wouldn't say that the United States deserved what happened.
Ladies and gentlemen of the Star County Republican Party.
And because it's the right thing to do, I promise you a fair and transparent
investigation. That's not confirmed. That's what me and him are going up
no,
to.
No, Phil, get off me.
World famous Phil Hendry show here since 1990, taking your ass to the edge of reality and beyond. It's the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And on this show, we go places no other talk show in the world has ever been to. And we still have Dean Wheeler on the line with us and more of your calls at 877-876-PHIL as we continue to discuss the Ground Zero Mosque and its relationship in terms of protest and constitutionality and sensitivity, its relationship to the burning, the planned burning that was on and then off and maybe on again, the planned burning of a Quran in Central Florida. And we've mentioned that there has been some commentary from some who say, well, these two things do, they have no linkage, and that's a little silly, because if you say, well, one is constitutional, the other is constitutional, one offends, the other offends, one is okay and the other isn't, now we got a problem. What's the difference? 877-876-PHIL is our number. We'll get back to Dean here in a moment. And don't forget, the right arm of the world-famous, groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show can be accessed at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com right now, live streaming video of our program, where you can go and watch how see how we perform our show. There's also live streaming audio on that video feed and downloads the next day of every single Phil Hendry Show, as well as many downloads, many podcasts. We have our classic Phil podcasts and our rants, plus a news feed. And the comments section open to our Backstage Pass members only. So go to philhendryshow.com and get a BSP. All right, now, before we get back with Dean, a few things that I did want to first of all alert you to and turn you on to and have you listen to. So we got some audio from the Florida minister there in Gainesville. This is this gentleman, Reverend Terry Jones, and we have his thinking on this matter of burning the Quran. Now, as I said, this preacher backed off and then threatened to reconsider burning the Quran on the anniversary of the 9/11 attacks because he accused the Muslim leader of lying to him Thursday with a promise to move the Islamic Center. Terry Jones generated an international firestorm, blah, 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 blah. He claims that this guy, this Faoud, who we're going to hear in a moment, his name is actually Rauf Faisal Abdul, excuse me, the Ground Zero Mosque Imam. He claims that this man promised to move it and then backed off of that promise. We don't know if that's true or not, but in any event, there is some audio of Reverend Jones here. This morning, Pastor Terry Jones explaining that he is canceling the Quran burning. This is before he reconsidered canceling the Quran burning because the Ground Zero Mosque will be moved.
I will be flying up there on Saturday to meet with the Imam at the Ground Zero Mosque. He has agreed to move the location. That, of course, cannot happen overnight, but he has agreed to move that. We felt that that would be a sign that God would want us to do it. The American people do not want the mosque there, and, of course, Muslims do not want us to burn the Quran. The Imam has agreed to move the mosque. We have agreed to cancel our event on Saturday, and on Saturday I will be flying up there to meet with him.
All right, Dean Wheeler joining us again from the Northern California Holistic Center. So what are your comments about this on-again, off-again?
Well, I think it's laughable that this preacher, this before last week, he was completely unknown to... I would say this, and I don't mean anything egotistical by this, but I think I'm better known than he is. And yet this week, everyone is paying attention to him because he made a claim that could be sheer fantasy. It could be the result of, I question whether the man is well. I don't know if he has some kind of hallucinations, if he's hearing voices, if he's seeing things.
Well, the man is saying that he talked to this imam, and the imam agreed to move the mosque. I mean, do you have any comment on that?
Yes, I do have a comment, Phil.
And what is that?
You'd like to hear my comment?
Yes.
He's a liar.
He's a liar. You're saying that Reverend Jones, a Christian minister, is a liar.
Well, I don't think there's anything unusual about a Christian lying. And you can call yourself Reverend. You can call yourself the Wizard of Oz. And from what I've been listening to over the last hour and a few minutes, it's almost as if I have been walking down the yellow brick road, because you have, through your own intentional need, Phil, to control this debate, you've brought in every kind of freak. And I think what you mean by the wizard, I don't want to call The Wizard of Oz, it's a children's story, and I'm not saying it was populated with freaks, but yes, it was. And that...
All right, look, you're I don't even know what you're talking about now. We're talking about this guy, Terry. You think he's lying?
I don't think he has an first of all, don't make it sound like that I'm the freak. The freak is in the movie Wizard of Oz. A talking lion. I'm saying that man, Mr. Jones, I don't think he has even a casual relationship with the reality that you and I live in. Is all I'm saying.
All right, let me ask you this, and comment on this. This is Ralph Faisal Abdul, the Ground Zero Mosque Imam. This is him speaking right after 9/11. Listen to the sensitive comments of this man. This man is behind building this mosque. Let's listen to this man right after 3,000 Americans were burned alive in front of our very eyes. Let's listen to what he had to say about this weeks, just weeks, after our countrymen died in this vicious, vicious mass murder.
I wouldn't say that the United States deserved what happened, but the United States policies were an accessory to the crime that happened, because we have been an accessory to a lot of innocent lives dying in the world. In fact, in the most direct sense, Osama bin Laden is made in the USA.
Now, that man, as far as I'm concerned, said something there that America has been an accessory to the murder of innocents is a far cry from saying that America intentionally seeks out the death of innocent people, which is what those bastards did on 9/11. And what this piece of crap here that's building this mosque is essentially saying the United States was complicit in.
You're calling that man a piece of crap. He's a holy man. He's a man who represents a religion.
You just said that Terry Jones, the Reverend Christian from Gainesville, Florida, is hearing voices.
I don't think there's any doubt that Terry Jones is suffering from auditory hallucination. He could be seeing things. You led me on a yellow brick road, Phil, for the last hour and 15 minutes through every kind of freak village, every sort of township populated with weird... And I didn't say a word. I kept my mouth shut as you and I took this journey together.
What did I do to you over the last hour and a half?
You're telling me these people that I was talking to?
Those are my callers, and I'm going to have you talk to a couple of more here. And I mean, I've got other callers. Those are my listeners. Those are my callers. You want to call them freaks from the Wizard of Oz, man? I mean, these are human beings. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Hussein in Memphis, Tennessee. Hussein, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil. I love the show.
Yes.
Peace
Thank
up
you.
On you and on your guest. Mr. Dean, I
Thank
just
want
to make a comment.
I don't know how you say it, but...
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That to let you know.
There you go.
I do speak Arabic. And I want to let you know, I really do feel offended by your comments saying that the Muslims are angry people. They just want to go ahead and be sensitive about everything that happens. In the same time, if you're going to defend the Muslims, number one, read the history. Because there was a time where the Muslim needed a backup. Guess what? The Christians, who are the one who backed them up for the Islam to be successful. And number two...
I don't know. I'm just saying that Mr. Henry said that Muslims are excitable.
No, you did. You were the one that said that Muslims are all excitable and weird, and, you know, you better watch out because those people will flip their lid.
I didn't Mr. say
Henry,
flip their lid.
I would like to say, if you guys go back and read the history, there was a time when all the Muslims got kicked out of Mecca. They traveled from Mecca to Al-Madinah. They left all of their belongings behind. The Christians went over and greeted the Muslims, and each Christian family took a Muslim family into their household and divided their belongings into two halves. They give one half to the Muslim family. They keep another half for their self. The Prophet Muhammad has insisted constantly that the closest religion to Islam is Christianity. And I really don't understand.
Can you verify that this took place? Because I've never heard of this.
He's talking about history.
He's talking about history.
Yes, sir.
Sir, I'm telling you. What I'm telling you is an actual documentation. Go back and you can even Yahoo it. You can even Google it. It's going to pop up everywhere. Yahoo. An actual documentation will show you. It has even been translated in multiple languages.
So you can come here and Google it. You can't say Yahoo it. You say Google it, but you don't say Yahoo it.
Because this. These stories are like the backbone of the histories between the Muslims and the Christians. And the Prophet Muhammad encouraged the Muslims, if they're going to go to another country, if they live there for 40 days,
I'm just asking you, was this on the History Channel? Because if it wasn't,
let me just finish. And based on your comment, you are saying that Mr. Henry is conservative and the Muslims are not conservative. I hate to break it down to you, man, but all the Muslims are actually conservative. I'm sorry for you. You don't even know who you are defending.
Muslims are progressives, don't they? Aren't they vegetarians? They're progressives.
They are actually. Very conservative in a lot of issues. They agree upon in the conservative society.
Don't they believe in the legalization of marijuana?
Are you an idiot or something? Are you nuts or something, man? See, you know, progressives defend Muslims, but they have no idea that the reason why a lot of progressives defend Muslims is for a self-serving. It's self-serving. It's got nothing to do with defending the Muslim or the Arab community. It's got nothing to do with anything other than this sort of self-serving, knee-jerk, anti-American fallback, which every progressive feels they need to have on their side because they feel so guilty that they're living it up in Mill Valley, which is where you live, Dean.
I didn't pay. Oh, okay. So I'm rich?
Yeah, you're rich. Yes, go ahead and say it. Then I got to take a break. Go ahead.
Yeah, here's what I want to tell you, Mr. Dean. The Muslims are like a stepchild, like a foster child. Right now, they don't have any leaders can hug them and pat them in the back to tell them what's the proper way to live and to make it easier to live in. What you're doing right now and making a Muslim feel very angry with what you're saying, I think the closest father to the Muslims is the United States of America, because what America has done for the Muslims.
Oh my God! I'm telling you, America's the worst.
America's got freedom of religion, you dork.
You know, I defend Muslims because they can't do it on their own, and you call me wrong.
Because they can't do it on their own. All right, I got to take a break, Hussein. Thank you very much, sir. And did you hear that man said? He said the closest thing that the Muslim people have to a protector is the United States of America.
How can you say that when I've been on this program now for the last, and now you're playing your music? Every time I have a good point to make, God.
877, every time you have a good point to make, you don't make it. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back with Dean Wheeler.
Phil Hendry.
Uncle Muhammad.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
What are you talking about now?
I'm talking about the history of how the Arab people and the Islamic people came to be. And you were...
What are you talking about, ovens? You know, we're back here on the program. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking to Dean Wheeler. What do you mean people being put into ovens? The Jewish people were murdered by Hitler.
I understand that. But what I am trying to tell you, and you don't want to hear... is that the Muslim people were subjected to slavery and murder. They did not have, obviously, the crematoria that the Nazis had. But the Egyptians and the Saudi Arabians used those clay ovens. The children today, they call them easy bake. They weren't...
Clay, what is that?
Do you like tandoori? It is the same prince. I'm saying that the Muslims were... put into those. It didn't kill them, Tandoor, that's it. And it was an ill-thought way of exterminating Muslims because it didn't kill them. But the Egyptians and the Saudi Arabians got their idea from Hitler and used clay ovens.
You know what? I got to tell you, you have no knowledge of history at all.
Oh, and you do?
I got way more than you. So the Egyptians and the Saudi Arabians tried to kill the Muslims by putting them into clay ovens that didn't work as good as the crematoriums that Hitler had.
Well, for obvious, Hitler had... Excuse me, Mr. Henry, it is the Middle East. That is Saudi Arabia and it is Egypt. Electrical power and normal water supplies are not as reliable. Whereas in Germany, you've got pretty reliable hydroelectric power.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a caller in New York listening to us on WWRL. It's Pete. Go ahead, Pete. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, man. How you doing, Pete?
This yes, guy sir.
Is
good.
That's funny, but I'm... It blows my mind that one man is allowed to get his freedom and another man is not. We're Americans. If both of them are Americans. If one is allowed to get his freedom, the other one should be allowed to get his freedom. One wants to build a mosque, the other one should be allowed to burn the Quran.
But it doesn't make any sense. If he builds a Quran, and
builds
the other
Quran, if he burns a mosque,
I forget what I'm.
You're talking about burning up Quran.
If he burns a Quran, that gets the Arabs angry.
Okay,
now,
hold on. So it's okay for the American people, right, not to get upset when they're burning our flags and stuff, but it's okay for them to get mad, right? That's what you're telling me.
Well, you're telling me
it's okay for them to get mad, but it's not okay for the American people to get mad. I'm in New York, okay?
I'm in New York, and
I'm telling you, I am angry. I am upset. Okay?
But you see, the people of color
it should be fair for the other one. That's
and
all.
The Arabs are excitable people.
You're a racist, man. You're talking about the Arabs are excitable people, so we shouldn't piss them off. But Americans are supposed to sit here and suck on a mosque because what? Because we're grown up?
I think that's racist to say that.
No, it's racist for you to say that we better not do anything that pisses off Muslims because they're real excitable and crazy and all this crap.
Exactly.
And meanwhile, we got
to
sit here
to get upset.
Well, I don't know what either one of you see. I'm confused. You sound like you're Caribbean, which means you're black. So why would you be against me?
What does that mean?
This guy is amazing.
I'm talking to the caller. Are you not from the Caribbean sections?
What?
I believe
yes,
you are.
I am from the Caribbean,
okay.
Yes. But
okay, that means you should be agreeing with me.
Why?
That the guys...
Why?
The
I'm an American. I am an American. I am allowed to have feelings.
Yeah.
I am allowed to have feelings.
You are American.
My feelings are, right? And I don't understand. A whole bunch of the rest of New York is feeling the same way.
Right. And what are you saying? Are you saying, Dean, because he's black?
Well, he's a black American, and that's different.
Oh, it's different. You know something, man? If a man tells you that he feels a certain way, I think it's a good idea to just take him at his word.
Why don't you show more sympathy for the Muslims? They suffered for hundreds of years getting away from the Egyptians.
What are you talking about, man? Here you go again with the Egyptians.
Well, see, the gentleman's laughing now, and I'm trying to defend him.
What color are you, Dean?
Excuse me?
What color are you?
I'm a white man.
Oh, well, the great white father now is speaking on behalf of all the black people, all the Muslim people.
What a racist. Who escaped the Egyptians?
The Jewish people.
No, it wasn't. It was the Muslims.
What a moron. It was the Jewish people that escaped the...
Who said wow?
This is amazing.
Sir.
Wow.
Mr. Henry, he's completely destroyed. You know? Oh, boy.
This guy
I've been
is...
on your program. Don't you read the diary of? Didn't you read the diary of? You know some. You know what an Uncle Muhammad? You know what an Uncle Tom is? You know what an Uncle Muhammad is? That was I heard from Uncle Muhammad.
What's an Uncle Muhammad?
A couple of the Muslims that called him were Uncle Muhammad.
Hold on. Is this guy even American?
Who me? Of course.
Is this guy even human, or is this guy a machine?
I'm a human. I'm embarrassed to say I'm American, but yes, I am. It's on my passport. But I am embarrassed.
Why would you?
Well, then guess, to be an American, then find someplace else to go.
Oh, no, 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 I don't play that. I'm going to stay here and make this country good. I'm going to, I don't like being American, but I have to be.
Yo, what a jackball. I hope I never have you back on the show. Thank you very much, Pete, for your call. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Bud's Nightly News, coming up next.
You can't hang up on me. I'll never allow you to.
Hang up on him, Bud.
Phil Hendry.
Ow.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we thank Dean Wheeler for What I Don't Know, Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard joining me here in our news segment. Iraq's reality TV car bomb show splits viewers. Get a load of this, man. You're not going to believe this. Iraq television has taken reality programming to a controversial new level. I mean, this is beyond anything they've even done in America. They're broadcasting a show in which celebrities are pranked into believing their vehicles are transporting car bombs.
Are they?
No, it's a joke, man. In what appears to be a cross between Candid Camera, Punked, and the Academy Award-winning film The Hurt Locker, which, that's an asinine comment by, yes, thank you, Matthew Hall of AOA. What do you mean, Hurt Locker, man? Yes, it's in Iraq, and yes, there's cats in uniform, and yes, they're talking about bombs. That's about it. Iraq celebrities. Boy, I'll tell you, if there's one thing we've got in this world, it's celebrities, man. Even during a war, we got celebrities. Even as a country is struggling to get on its feet, we got celebrities. Even in Iran, they got celebrities. In Pakistan, celebrities. They got a whole movie colony in India, Bollywood.
What are you talking about, Bollywood? What is that?
Yeah, what's that?
India, man. You don't know they got a whole film industry over there.
What? What are you talking about, man?
You want me to? I'll just keep saying it, man. They have a film industry in India, and they've got movie stars.
Yeah, but I mean, bro, they're not movie stars, are they?
Yes, they're movie stars. They're huge in India, man. Some of them come over here and make movies, and they call it Bollywood. It's just a play on words.
Where is that?
I don't know, man. Where is Bali? Bali's not even in India. I don't know what the hell they call it, man. Dellywood or some crap like that.
Morningwood.
I'm gonna smack your.
What?
I'll do that humor, not you. In what appears to be a... Well, I already told you that part. The program broadcast over the past few weeks during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan on the Al-Baghdadiyah station. Ain't that that one station that's a bunch of jackballs?
Yeah. That's the one that's kind of like what you call Ali Akbar?
No, he's talking about Al Jazeera.
Oh, Al Jazeera, yeah. I think this Al-Baghdadi station's the same. It has split viewers in Iraq, with some commending the acting while others condemn preying on victims' fears. Translated as Send Him to Baqa, the program's title refers to the former U.S. detention center Camp Baqa near Basra in southern Iraq, which closed last year. What does that mean, translated? They don't even tell you the name of the damn show. Do you know that, man? Anyway, the New York Times reported this week that Send Him to Baqa stars Iraqi celebrities who believe they're traveling to the Al-Baghdadiyah studios to be interviewed for another TV program. En route, when Iraqi soldiers cooperating in the prank stop the celebrities at a checkpoint, a fake bomb is planted in their cars. Man.
Is that a real bomb?
No, it wouldn't be. I don't think it'd be a real bomb, would it?
How are you looking at me? I don't know. Why, because I'm the black man? I'm going to know all about that?
No, don't get so sensitive.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, you would. I don't know.
Don't be so sensitive, man. I looked at you. I could have looked at him. I'm tired of looking at him.
I'll tell you now. I don't think it's real.
There you go. Hey. There, we had a decision made, okay? You feel better?
I don't know, man. You said, is it a real bomb? You're looking at me like because I'm black.
What is it with you all of a sudden, man? You got a problem or something?
I don't know. Maybe I'm tired.
Yeah, maybe you ought to just split. How about that?
Why?
Because you're getting all uptight, man. I didn't say anything to you about because you're a black guy, you know about bombs.
There ain't no black guys bombing stuff. What that guy said, Islamic.
They didn't call him Islamic, man. It's called Islam.
All right, we get it. Jeez. Anyway, the New York Times reported this week that Send Him to Baca stars Iraqi celebrities. You know the story. They drive to the studio. The Iraqis stop them. And there's a fake bomb, okay? We agreed a fake bomb is planted in the car. The celebrities are secretly filmed as the soldiers soldiers shout at them with increasing drama. Why do you want to blow us up? You're a terrorist. How much did they pay you to do it? You will be executed. You'll be executed. Comments on the station's website, translated from Arabic to English by the New York Times, appear to be divided on the merits of the program. The program is very nice, one viewer wrote. Very nice. The nicest thing is that the soldiers are acting in a very good and convincing way. There are not many ways to bring such smiles other than what we've watched in this program, another said. But not all viewers found themselves laughing at the gallows humor. Everyone knows that Iraq is living under unnatural circumstances on all sides, so why do you make a program that is based on fear, provocation, and mocking, especially to Iraqis? I agree with that.
What are you talking about, man? I mean, everybody's trying to laugh.
You know, I'm not even talking to you, man, okay?
Why?
Because the more you yell, the more I want you out of here. You understand that? You understand that, right?
Yeah, get out of here.
Shut up, man.
Come on, just go home early or something. And you know what? Just because you get to stay doesn't mean I want to listen to you either.
I didn't do anything.
Good. Keep not doing anything. What the hell's with him?
I don't know. He's all got pissed off about that Muslim guy.
Oh, that sounds screwy to me. According to CNN, the program echoed a video posted on the YouTube in April that showed an unsuspecting Iraqi having a grenade planted in his car by American soldiers at a checkpoint. Only later he was told it was a joke. That video's description says, "This is my partner and I working at a traffic control point in Iraq. We decided to scare one of the locals a bit by placing a grenade in his trunk while he wasn't looking. This was all in fun and never in any intent to harm anyone." Yeah, sure. You cats got to be careful what you're putting on YouTube is all I'm going to tell you. You know, I never thought that I'd have to say this. In a million years, I never thought that I'd have to say this. All right, tell him he can come back in here, okay?
Yeah, because he looks all sad.
Tell him he can come back in.
I'm sorry.
Well, what were you pissed off about?
I just needed something to eat.
What, did you get something to eat?
Yeah, I had a Snickers.
You had a Snickers out of the vending machine?
Yeah.
And now you feel better?
Yeah. I guess that commercial's right. All you need is a Snicker.
Yeah, a Snicker bar. That's like, I'm not going to get one of those. It's $1.25.
I open the machine up. I hope you don't mind.
No, I don't mind.
Well, how come I'm paying $1.25?
Can I get back to what I'm doing? Anyway, what I'm trying to say here is that if you're going to put something on YouTube, here's a news flash for you. I don't want to shock anybody, but try to make it something that isn't illegal. Hey, you know? Like throwing a dog into a well, or, I don't know, beating somebody up, or hiring people to beat other people up, or doing some illegal act. Because what happens is, when you put it on YouTube, even though you think you look cool, they come and they arrest you. Arrest you.
Now I'm calling it arrest tube.
Call it, yes, arrest tube. God, this is cool. Let's put this on YouTube. Yeah, I see. You know, it's illegal, so they're going to come looking for your ass. And don't think they can't find you, man. There's this idea that because it's the internet, that YouTube is going to protect your ass. It ain't going to happen, man. YouTube doesn't care about you. YouTube doesn't care about me. YouTube cares about one thing and one thing only, YouTube. Which means they're not going to go to the wall for some jackass throwing a dog into a riverbed, or some group of girls beating each other up, or somebody, I don't know who, doing whatever it is they're doing. They're not going to the wall for you guys. They're not going to stand on constitutionality and, the right of the public to know. When they're told, hey, this is a crime that's being committed. It's on this video. We want the name of the individual that owns this account. Guess what YouTube's going to do? They're going to give it to them. You have no anonymity. You have no, you're not protected. This is one of the craziest things that I think has happened with the internet over the last few years. People seem to think that in the event that a crime is committed or any kind of a violation of the law, that they're somehow protected on the internet and nobody can get to them. Wrong. Time and again, it's been proven in a court of law that if people show cause, they get the names, the addresses, the phone number. Hell, man, they get the blood type. and the number of times you have a bowel movement every day. They'll get all that information.
How do they get that, though?
They get it by asking YouTube or whoever the website is.
Yeah, but if you fill out YouTube, and I've been on a lot of websites, a lot of message board, they don't ask about a bowel movement.
Yeah, they never have.
Are you guys an idiot or something, man? I'm joking about that.
What, about a bowel movement?
They're not asking about that. I'm saying that just about it, that whatever the cops want to know, they'll tell.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, oh, okay. Well, I'm glad. Unreal.
You're laughing at everything, and you think that we're being dumb, but it's a good question. You said bowel movement.
You must be a jackass or something, man, to think that they want your... Did you sign up for YouTube?
Yeah.
Did they ever ask you for your bowel movements?
No.
Then I must be kidding. Jeez. All right, one other story, and this one just blows my mind, but I'm willing to believe anything, this being America. In San Bruno, in the county jail up there, the city jail up there, they've put a condom machine in. That's right. Now, in jail, as you know, there are, if you're in a jail with men, there's no women there, right? So there's no sex with women. That would mean that there's sex with men. However, what I've come to learn, and I could be wrong, I haven't spent large stretches of time in jail. I don't think you're allowed to have sex indiscriminately in jail. I think they have things called conjugal visits. I think they have that. I've never heard of it being cool to just go ahead and buddy up, if you'll pardon the expression. Yeah, haha. But in San Bruno, they've decided they're going to have a condom machine in the jail. And there's nobody telling anybody why. They're just saying, well, that just seems like a really good idea. Yeah, I bet you it is. Wish you could find the story. Here it is. San Bruno, California. Condom dispensers are the latest addition to San Francisco County Jail in San Bruno. The San Francisco Chronicle reported authorities have installed 16 machines in the jail's for the jail's 750 inmates, one on each pod, despite sex among prisoners officially being illegal. A safe sex program for prisoners began in 1989 where inmates were provided with condoms before they were released. The hell is that? What does that mean, man? What the hell are you? Are you a cop? Are you jail? What do you mean you're teaching them about safe sex before they're released? What is that? Sheriff Michael Hennessy told the San Francisco Chronicle that while their installation may be controversial, the larger health education message was important. How about this? You don't get to have sex. God, man. Everything these cats try, man, I'm telling you, everything these cats try, it just doesn't work. Don't tell me that it does. You know that it doesn't. Kate Monaco Klein, who's directing the program for the city's public health department, said that sex was already taking place without the machines, so I guess we just have to put the machines in. I got a great idea. Here's a news flash. I know I don't want to scare anybody, but you're a jailer. You have the guns. You have the billy stick. They're in a cell. You tell them what they do and what they don't do. Have you thought about that? Has it even occurred to you that that's a possibility? Jail? You know, jail.
Yeah, but she's saying that they're going to do it anyway.
They're going to do it anyway, really?
Yeah.
Well, if they're in jail, as opposed to, let's say, they're just out in the world, right?
Yeah.
In jail, you can tell them, no, you don't get to.
Well, I mean, what do you mean?
What do I mean? They're in a cell. You're the cop. They're the prisoner. You're the bull. They're just some yard punk. They're standing there. You tell them what's up, what's down, how they live, how they die. You tell them when they go in, you tell them when they get out, you tell them when they crap, when they eat, when they get a haircut, everything.
I know, no, you're right about that. But still and all, they're still going to have sex.
Oh, they're still going to have sex, huh? Where do they have this sex, man? In master suites that are hidden from the vision of the guards?
No, in the jail cell.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Well, how about if a guard walks by and says, no, you can't do that? And if they keep doing it, then they put him in solitary. And if they keep on doing that, then they do something else.
Yeah, but that would be anti-gay.
Oh, will you knock it off, anti-gay? If they're told they can't have sex, they can't have sex. See, if these people were real jailers, and this was a real jail, not a play jail, you see, they would tell them what to do. But it's a play jail. It's not a real jail.
What are you talking about, a play jail? They can't get out.
The hell, they might. Why would they want to get out, man?
I don't know, man. I wouldn't want to have sex with a man.
Oh, you wouldn't want to have sex with a man? Well, then that wouldn't be your kind of jail, man, because it sounds to me like the cats that are in that jail, they want to have sex with a man, and they let them have sex with men. Sounds like a pretty good deal. What do you think, bud?
I don't know. I wouldn't want to do it if it's a jail with a girl.
Ain't going to happen, man. However, now that we know that the San Francisco County Jail allows sex between the guys that are in jail, why not have a co-ed jail? You're going to have sex with a woman, that would be perfectly fine. And I'll tell you something else. If I was in jail and I could have sex with a female inmate that I was in jail with, I may never want to get out of jail.
Well, you got a point there.
You're right, I got a point. God. I better stop hitting the table, man, because the camera's going to fall over again.
Yeah, don't be looking at the ceiling like they was last time.
It wasn't for that long. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, coming back here in just a couple of minutes. A local GOP candidate in Ohio gives one of the most bizarre stump speeches. We will hear that speech, plus the most charitable nations in the world, here in our news segment of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Bud Dickman and whatever your name is, you big crybaby.
I'm all right now.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
PhilHendryShow.com is our website. That's the right arm, the strong right arm of the world-famous, groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show, PhilHendryShow.com. Get a backstage pass and join us on our video feed as we not only send you the audio of the show, we send you the video of the show, too, every night. All right, Stark County, Ohio has a candidate, local GOP candidate, and this cat gave a stump speech while running for the state of the treasurer's office in Stark County. Excuse me. Forgive me, folks. His name is Phil Davidson, or Phil Davison, I should say. And to say that he's passionate about the treasurer's office in Stark County might be the understatement of the year. He's a Republican. And wait till you hear this guy's speech that he gave. Davison, a Minerva, Ohio councilman, lost the nomination to North Canton Finance Director Alex Zumbar, according to the Huffington Post, but he also certainly left a lasting impression with his fellow Stark County Republicans. Let's listen here to Davison, his nomination speech. In a bizarre speech, he introduces himself to the audience.
Ladies and gentlemen of the Stark County Republican Party Executive Committee, good evening. And thank you not only for your attendance, but for allowing me the opportunity to speak. My name is Phil Davison, and I am seeking our party's nomination for the position of Stark County Treasurer on November of 2010. Excuse me.
Davison gives the audience his background.
I am from the village of Minerva, where I am serving my 13th year of elected service as a Minerva Council member. In terms of education, I have a bachelor's degree in sociology, a bachelor's degree in history, a master's degree in public administration, and a master's degree in communication. In terms of elections across Stark County, I have represented our party twice on the county ballot, and I will not apologize for my tone tonight.
And now the speech gets really weird.
I have been a Republican in times good, and I have been a Republican in times bad. Albert Einstein issued one of my most favorite quotes in the history of the spoken word, and it is as follows. In the middle of difficulty lies opportunity. I'm going to repeat that so I have clarity tonight. In the middle of difficulty lies opportunity. This is the opportunity we've been waiting for.
He makes his final plea for the nomination, which he ultimately doesn't get.
If nominated tonight, I promise each and every person in this room, I will hit the ground running, come out swinging, and end up winning. Let's send a message tonight to the people of Stark County and to the people of the Stark County Democratic Party. We're tired of business as usual. Drastic times require what? Drastic measures.
That's right.
Who said that? Thank you. Drastic times require drastic measures.
All right. Yeah. I'll vote for that guy.
Are you nuts?
No, I'm not nuts. I love him. That's Phil Davison, and he ran and he lost. He was looking for the nomination. That cat is my kind of guy.
You're out of your mind, man. That guy sounded like he's loony.
He may be loony, but maybe that's what we need. Maybe we need a guy like that. Phil Davison. Phil Davison for, you know, whatever the hell it was he was running for.
Yay for the geeks.
He was something, man. And so anyway, but he didn't get the nomination, but they said to him, you know, Phil, next year, try it again, because I'm telling you, treasurer. He was running for treasurer of Stark Raving Mad County, Ohio. And,
Is that what it's called?
No, it isn't. Just a little play on words. But that was a very moving and lasting speech. I don't know what the hell it was he was talking about, but I could give a damn what he was talking about, you know? I'd rather hear a cat like that than listen to Willie Nelson talking about, you know, talking about 9/11.
I saw those towers fall. And
yeah, I'd rather listen to a nut like that than listen to half of the jackballs that we got to listen to from time to time in the public sphere. Don't you agree with me? Huh?
Yeah, I sort of do.
Yeah.
All right. Charles Wygant is our producer, is our engineer, and our technical director. Dan Northcraft is our associate producer and screener. And, of course, our show is produced by Jason Rantz.
You would have been screwed.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com.
Yeah!
Phil Henry.